Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Yes, yes, yes. We know that Yah lives. We know Yah lives. When we say Yah people, we're talking about the Most High. In the scriptures, it talks about praise the Most High, talking about saying Jah, We know there was no J, so that's why we say Yah. That's where we get hallelujah. Anyway, welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. I will be your host today. This is Brother Seth. This is Five Smooth Stones. Tonight we're talking about the Federation or the Uniting of International Israelites. This is our late night show. Thank y'all for being up, staying up. We always have fun doing this. I know I do, and I think my guests do. This we premiered last week, and was a very good show. Got a really nice response from people, so I'm excited to see what the different people, how they respond with this one. Okay, so again, welcome to Five Smooth Stones. If you would go to blogtalkradio.com, if you're looking for us, you would type in after that, after the slash /5_smooth_stones. Again, Five Smooth Stones with an underscore separating the five, the smooth and the stones. Okay, if you don't use the underscore, you won't get us. And so we can't have that. But anyway, again, we're dealing with the Uniting or the Federation of International Israelites. In the Federation of International Israelites, that's the late night show, is what we call it. Now, we are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, as many of you know, that the Most High said if Israel didn't obey, that he would scatter them among the heathen, and that is exactly what has happened. We have been scattered among the heathen. And this is just a show reaching out to just common everyday people, no big eyes, little U's here, just regular everyday people that is scattered through the four corners. Some of them are pretty important people as far as what they do in their own professions, and some of them just regular everyday people. Again, we're reaching out to Israel and all four corners. Last week we had on Brother Mania Ben Eleazar from the land of Israel. Today, if the Lord say the same, we'll have on Brother Dawid Maccabees. This brother's from Sweden. Initially he's from the States, but he now lives in Sweden, and he'll be able to, I'll bring him on here in a second. And then hopefully later on we'll get another brother, Cephas. I know he had a lot going on, and there was a good chance he might not be calling, but hopefully we'll hear from him a little later on. Okay, so hope everyone is doing well. I know it's late at night. Of course, we're going to be reaching those of you that are really curious. Anytime you go into a blog this time of night, you're not your typical surfer. Net surfer, you are looking for something. You're looking for something this time of night. And I'm hoping and praying that this show, I know, will be a blessing to you, because I know the Most High want us united as a people. Many prophecies about Israel being scattered, but there's also many prophecies about them being united. And that is all this little blog is about, just simply reaching out to our brothers and sisters all throughout the world. And that's not to ignore those in the United States now. That's just reaching out to everybody. We are one family. One family. Israel is one, okay? And the Bible prophesies over and over again that the Most High is not done with bloodline Israel. I know about the spiritual Jews. Thank the Most High in his mighty wisdom that he chose to engraft them in. But he is not done with bloodline Israel. So I'm looking forward to this show tonight. Before we bring our brother on, I want to go ahead and just kind of give a shout out to the Kingdom of Yah, the family in Israel, the Israelite family in Israel that actually lived there, who produced that song that came on earlier. I figured if I use their song, I can at least let everybody know who they are. Go to kingdomofyah.com. They have a lot more great music just like that. Okay, so let's just go ahead now and just go to the Most High in prayer and ask his blessings upon our time together tonight, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for who you are, for being who you are. We just cannot thank you enough for your many blessings that you've bestowed on us today. We just thank you so much that you give us a heart and a mind to even think to pursue this particular revelation, pursue this particular work that you're doing in this end time. Thank you for making us a part of this end time movement to restore the apple of your eye. Father, I just pray that you will stay the focus of whatever we do today. It's all about you and getting close to you and understanding you, and you having the family you want in Israel in the first place. I just pray that we would we too would have the faith of Abraham and trust you for our righteousness and not seek it in our own efforts, and that we would please you with our life, and that we our families would all just 100% commit our goings and comings to you. Help us to serve you with everything we got, every fiber of our being, and help us to love our neighbor even as ourselves, even as the scripture has charged us to, that we may bring your kingdom to this earth even more than it is today. Thank you again for all things that you've blessed us with today. We don't take you for granted. We don't take you for granted, Yahweh. These blessings we ask in your son's name, amen and amen and amen. All right, people. I'm just a little tiny bit on the tired side, but we're here, and I see the chat room is loading up, several people there already, and I know a lot of people is listening because, again, I've got a lot of response to our previous episode. Before I go on to Brother Dawid, who's in the queue here, I want to just mention to everybody, do not forget that on our front page, that's 5 Smooth Stones, 5_smooth_stones, you will see a link under my profile. It'll say linked. It's actually a link under the profile section. Click on that link and you'll see the books that I read. They are many, and they are from some brothers and sisters, I tell you, who know what they're talking about. That is one of the airways I get knowledge and get insight and information that the Most High blessed me with. That's just one area. Some things the Spirit show you, you just can't put in a book, but you will get a good idea of a lot of the authors that have spoken to my life by simply clicking on that. Also, we have links to different brothers and sisters that I've listened to on the net and trusted and like some of the things they're saying. I think Brother Dawid, link is there. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and open up the line, but don't forget to check out that link. It's a lot of different brothers and sisters that's on there that will be a blessing to you. Dr. Ben, Ivan Van Sertum, a lot of these people, of course, you know, be led by the Spirit. But there is a lot of things out there that that will be a blessing to us. So I'm going to go ahead and open up this line, and hopefully this is Brother Dawid here. Let's see. Caller, you on the air? Who am I speaking with?
This is Dawid. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear, my brother, loud and clear. I was concerned about this connection because earlier we had a bad one, but it's good to hear you, my brother, on the show. I know we talked earlier, but it's good to have you on the show. Thank you for coming on, and I just want everybody to know that this brother right here is on Blog Talk Radio. Dawid, I want you to go ahead and just let them know how they can listen to your show, and then I got a tons of questions to ask you, and I know you got tons of comments, so we'll just jump right into this. But go right ahead.
Okay.
Introducing who you are, what your name means, where you at. I mean, I'm going to let you tell them where you at. Go right ahead.
Okay. First, let me say, in case I get interrupted, it's actually 7 o'clock in the morning here, and my boys are still sleeping, and they might get up and ask for me to make them some sandwiches and get them ready for doggies. So if I get interrupted, sorry about that, but you know.
Wow. What time is it there?
Well, it's right now 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock in the morning.
7 o'clock in the morning. I knew that, but I wanted the callers to know that so they'll be sensitive to your situation there. And this brother's calling everybody all the way from the land of Sweden, the country of Sweden. Now, I know the first thing I thought of, and I'm going to let you just jump in here in a second, but I just got to say this. The first time I talked to Brother Dawid, the first thing I thought of, this brother does not sound Swedish. So I'm going to let you explain how you got to Sweden and so forth. Just go right ahead.
Okay. I actually moved out here from San Francisco, and when I lived in San Francisco, I met my wife, and I'm not going to go through the whole story because it'll take too long, but anyway, she's from Sweden, and then when we had the war is going on with 2003 and the invasion of Iraq and everything, I got really frustrated, and I seen an opportunity for me to try something different. Now, let me say, I love America. I'm not anti-America. I love my country more than anything, but I just don't like the decisions that my country makes, okay? And I didn't leave just because of that. It's because at the time I also got laid off from my job. And I actually work in the IT field, and I work for a lot of different Fortune 500 companies. And when I came here, I thought there would be a better opportunity for that. And this was about 8 years ago. It was 2003 or so. No, actually 7 years ago now. And basically, I'm out here now, and I'm living here. I learned Swedish. I can speak Swedish and write it and stuff. I'm not really good at it, but I'm getting, you know, basically assimilated into the culture. And now I have a passport, so I can travel throughout Europe and the United States and this dual citizenship. And basically, that's me. I'm here in Sweden. Did you have another question?
Well, let's let everybody know a little bit about Sweden before we jump into this whole Hebrew thing. You know how you and I can do it. I mean, I tell you what, for starts, let's do this. Sweden obviously is in, you have to be living on the rock to not know it's in Europe. But how the so-called black people there, I mean, do they go through the same thing? Because remember, we're talking about scattered Israel. And so we're talking about people there. Is there anybody that live out the blessings, all the curses in Deuteronomy 28 or Leviticus 26? And how do they live? Are they a lot like American blacks, or are they black at all? Are they white? Kind of let everybody know that from that standpoint.
Okay, now here's what people have to understand about Sweden. Sweden is a country that really takes care of its citizens. And they haven't been in many wars. And so they don't really have the American style racism, you know. And actually, put it this way. Last night, okay, my wife takes me to I have a birthday coming up, and she took me to a gift to a show that actually has the Black Power movement. It says the birth of the Black Power movement. It's not like a revolutionary thing, but you know, Sweden is socialist, but they're not a communist country. There's a difference between socialism and communism. People need to understand that. Socialism is just basically the rights for people to basically eat, okay? When you have she took me to this event, and it was produced by a Swedish guy with Danny Glover. And it's a really amazing documentary, and I recommend you to look at it when you're going out there. So they have a different take, and while we were going through our struggle, there's a lot of people from the Vietnam War that actually came to move to Sweden, and I didn't know this. And a lot of these brothers are actually out here, and I speak to them a lot, and they're actually, you know, they're cool. Now, I'm not saying that it's perfect and everything's wonderful, because every country has its problems. But recently now, there's an fluctuation of a lot of the people from Iraq and the Middle East because of the wars that's going on, and they're all coming up towards Sweden, and now it's causing problems with the Muslim community. But as for the African Americans that are here, most of them come from the time.
Hold on a second. You use the term that I know that just threw everybody that's listening on the floor. You said African Americans. Now I know you come from America, but I mean, would you really term blacks living in Sweden African? Should you say African Sweden? Maybe. I don't know.
No. You know what? It's like when we say when we make names for people. If I say African American, I say that because everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? If I start using other associations, they're like, "What do they mean by that?" Now I'm going to get into all that later. But I just want to make an association. Okay, I'm talking about the people that came from the States of America, African Americans. Now, we do have other Africans from Nigeria, from Senegal, Sierra Leone, all these other places that are here. Now, what people have to understand is that Sweden didn't really have that many slaves. I don't even know if Sweden had slaves in the country. I think Sweden's role in the slave trade was based on they had ships, and they had they were in control of a certain harbor, I think, with Denmark, and then they ended that portion of the slave trade. So if we're looking for the actual, I call them the diaspora, we have to look into all the places in which the so-called African Americans went to. And they're the four corners of the world, but the most places we know of is Brazil is the most portion, but then we have the second place, of course, is the United States of America. But the starting point was that in the areas of the Caribbean. Okay, is this answer some of the questions?
I'm sorry. Repeat that. I'm sorry. Can you repeat what you just said, please? You was breaking up.
Okay, because I want to make sure that you can hear me, because sometimes Blog Talk kind of starts to cut you off.
Yeah, you know? Just the last portion. I hear the last portion. Can you repeat that you was breaking up?
Okay, yeah. What I was saying is that when we look at the diaspora, I call it the diaspora, is the people that were spread out all over. That we're trying to teach people who the true Hebrews are, and in teaching that, they have to go back to prophecy. Now, when you're looking for these people, you have to understand that the African was distributed through the four corners of this earth. Now, I'm in Sweden, but you're not going to find these slaves in Sweden, because Sweden didn't have slaves, but they did deal.
They migrated there, is what you're saying. You're saying,
yeah.
there are blacks there, if I can use that term, blacks. They're there, but you're just basically saying they already went through slavery, and they come from like America, or they may come from Europe that did have they may come from Britain that did have slaves, or they may
yes.
come from Italy that did have slaves, or they may come from
yes.
North Africa that did have slaves, and they all kind of, I see what you're saying. So it's kind of like, word I'm looking for here? It's kind of like a place of, don't sound like an oppressed ancient nation. It's
no,
more like
no.
a... You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you this. How do the so-called blacks get along there? I mean, you say a lot of them are African-Americans, some of them are Africans from Africa. How do they get along as far as does this whole – well, let me ask you another way. Are there a lot of people there that claim to be Israelites?
Well – and to answer that question, not really, and I'm going to tell you why, is because no one has told them. And I'm here, and I know that I see a lot of different brothers that are here, but most of them are still in the Christian doctrine. And there's actually a guy in Nigeria, but he lives in Germany. And we actually spoke a little bit. Well, we had email contacts a little bit. You know, so
okay.
I'm gonna let people know something. This right here is at its beginning stages, and it's something that has been around for a while, but no one really knows about. And if someone wants to get a intro into this, I advise you to read. It's by Rudolf Windsor, and the book is called From Babylon to Timbuktu. These are one of the first books
I've
read.
Oh, you don't think Valley of Dry Bones is a better book? Well,
no,
that's a good book too.
Yeah, Valley of Dry Bones is a good book, but the Babylon book too was the first one he actually written. And when he wrote that one, that's the one that actually explains how it happened through the slave trade. And not only that, it actually goes back even further, because it talks about how the Hebrews they migrated down towards these areas of Africa, which actually contributed to the slave trade. You know, I mean, everything that I'm speaking about is all documented in history. We just have to know how to match history up with the Bible. Okay?
I see. I am so glad you gave little short intro to about Sweden, because I just thought that it was connected with, you know, it had ancient roots to slavery and all that, but I see it's more like a afterthought, so to speak. It's, you know, I see everything is pretty much, you know, probably done more with Italy and France and some of those older countries. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. I don't want to leave my mind. Oh, yes, you was brought up in the Pentecostal churches.
Yes, yes. this is a good
story. And I know personally there's a lot of Pentecostals on the line, and they want to know, do you believe in the Messiah? What do you believe? And also, while you're at it, Dawi, go ahead and let everybody know, why is this even important to you? I know you hit it a little bit, but really and truly, in a personal way, if someone may say this, okay, you know, Dawid, I hear you and Brother Seth sharing tonight. What does it have to do with our salvation? I mean, really and truly, so what we are Israel? So what you live in? So what you live in Sweden and the brother that's going to call later on live somewhere else? Why is this important?
Okay, let me first answer the question about the Messiah. Let me say something. I believe in the Messiah 100%. If I could believe in more, I would. And this is so important that the brothers that try to deny this, they do not understand that this is the second part of the story. And the second part of the story, the belief in the Messiah, is doing what we are supposed to do based on our covenant. Now, that sounds a little bit confusing, but if you know and you've listened to my broadcast, you would understand where I'm coming from with that. And what I mean is that the Messiah is the promise. The Messiah is the promise to the world to give his word to the lost sheep. Those lost sheep are to express his message by being alive and showing to the world that they survived and giving the truth from their mouth. Now, when I say that, I mean, we have to go back to the covenant, okay? What was the covenant that was given to the children of Yaakov through Moses? Moses spoke to these children. He said, I will make a covenant with you.
Now okay? Hold on a second, Dawid. When you say Yaakov, I know what you mean, but what do you exactly
okay.
mean? You're talking about,
okay.
Go ahead.
All right, now Yaakov is Jacob. And people understand now there is we have the two brothers. We have Jacob and Esau. All right? Jacob and Esau were the sons of Isaac. Esau gave up his birthright. And when he gave up his birthright, it went passed on to Jacob. When I say Yaakov, Yaakov is the actual name that is spoken of in the Hebrew tongue. Now, I'm not going to sit here and claim that I know the Hebrew tongue because what we're speaking now is something that we think is the Hebrew tongue based on our knowledge now, okay? But the actual language of our people, you know, that goes back 2,000 years. So, but from what I know, we have to use the Yaakov because there is no J. And we'll get back to that later because there's a lot of things in history that happen that changed the way that the English language, interpreted the word. But let me get back to the covenant now. Now, when I was speaking about the covenant was given to a peculiar treasure, okay, peculiar treasure, a special people. And as soon as that treasure was given to these people, they became a target. And what I mean is that we have demonic forces in this world, let's just put it out there, that do not want this message to be expressed. Because if this message is expressed, then all bets are off. And what I mean by that is this word lives with the people that were chosen to give it. And when people realize what the message is, then the world will be saved. And here's an example. When we look in Israel, and we look at the United States, and we look at Great Britain, and we see the destruction of this planet the way it is now, and we look at the people that are in charge of it, and we look at the people that say they are the Jews, the seed of the the children, the chosen of the Most High, we have to say, okay, is this a representation of the Creator? Now, most people that do not believe in a God, they will say, they will look at and say, okay, this is the representation. This is the chosen of the Most High. And they are in the land that He has given to them. But yet, wars and death are all over this place. Do you think that is a proper representation of the Most High? You have to ask that very critical question as an individual, not a religious institution, just as a common human being on this planet that wants to do the right thing. Now, if you see that it is not, then you have to say, if this doesn't represent the Most High, what does? Because the true representative of the Most High have been thrown on ships and hidden and oppressed. Now, I make that statement because what you need to do is you need to go into prophecies. And when you read the prophecies of the word, the prophecies will tell you what these people are doing. And those prophecies are found in Deuteronomy, in the book of Leviticus. And once you go through these prophecies, you start to compare them with the people that are in the land of Jerusalem now and ask an honest question. Does this match up? I don't know. Did I go off topic, man? I'm not sure.
No. You're right on topic because, again, a lot of people will say, what does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with my salvation? People a lot of times can read the scriptures. They know that what are we saying is not off. They know what we're saying are true. It's just they think, okay, so what? What if we are Israelites? What is that going to change today for me right now, my children, my bill I got to pay next week, me, I'm trying to get married, or I'm single, or I'm married and having difficulties, or what does that have to do with me? How would this enhance me in any way? Unfortunately, that's the way people look at things. And so what I try to do when I bring this up, just like you just done so well, I first like to share Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, and I say, who do you know, just like you just said, live out these prophecies? Who, when we want to look for Israel, we want to look for someone that can wear the blessings or someone that can wear the curses, because in Deuteronomy 28 and 46, it's not necessarily a Bible class today, but those listening, you should have your Bible out because we refer to the scriptures a lot, but this is in Deuteronomy 28:46. Moses is speaking, and he says that certain things is going to befall to be upon Israel. Now, and that's in Deuteronomy 28:46, and he says, and I quote the verse, and they, speaking of the blessings or the curses, shall be upon thee for a sign, S-I-G-N, a sign and a wonder, and unto thy seed forever. So if you want to know who is a true Jew or who is a true Israelite, you simply look for these blessings on a particular nation or the curses. Or you can look at Leviticus 26. But Deuteronomy, Moses makes it really clear in Deuteronomy that these are the things they will go through. And one of the last scripture talks about you put in slave ships. So that's verse 68. So you got 68 prophecies, roughly, and you just simply see who lives out there. That's true Israel. So when I bring on Brother Dawid Maccabee from Sweden, which who I have on tonight, then this brother is simply, you know, we talked earlier, and he simply believe he is Israel because everybody that he's associated with, I mean, in terms of slaves and being brought to America, we, as so-called African-Americans, we live out this prophecy. So let whoever can wear this Cinderella slipper, so to speak, let them be true Israel. And everybody else is just, we're just guessing. There is no other soundproof way. Brother Dawid, correct me now. Is there another soundproof way that we know Israel that is scattered to all four corners of the earth? There is not another way. At least I don't know. You know of any other ways?
No, there isn't. And actually, you can actually see who's not by the prophecies, because it says that you will not be able to lend to anybody. And we know that the people that claim to be Israel are lending to everybody. They owned all the institutions. I mean, people, you need to wake up. I mean, it's like you really have to take a time just to meditate and really study and figure this out. Let me throw something else in here. Now, I'm going to speak about Esau real quick because this is going to bring it back to the Messiah. All right? And hopefully I have time to get this out before my boys wake up. Now, we're going to talk about Esau because Esau was the one that stole, that the birthright was taken from, okay? We have Esau and Jacob. So we have Yaakov and Esau. Now, what happens with Esau? Esau now becomes Edomite, okay? Edomite means red, and that's actually something else that we need to look into. But we don't have time to get into that right now. But if we follow the line of Esau, we are told that Esau is King Herod, okay? Now, when I speak about this, I want people to understand that there was a book called the Book of Maccabees, all right? Now, the Book of Maccabees is in the Septuagint. Many people don't know what the Septuagint is. The Septuagint is the first book, the first Bible. This was written in Babylonian Hebrew and Greek. Now, I say Babylonian Hebrew because Babylonian Hebrew is the Hebrew that was taken on when the Hebrews were in captivity. Prior to that, they spake Aramaic, and then they spake Paleo, and then prior to Paleo, it was character-based. That means they used pictographs to communicate. What happened was all of these languages were usurped and changed into Babylon. During the time of the Babylonian captivity, you have all of the different people that were taken from the land into this area. Now, what happens is the Hebrews now are being assimilated into the other nations that are around this time of Babylon. Now, the Hebrew culture starts to turn into a religion. That religion is amalgamated or conflated with different religions at that time, and out of this comes the Kabbalah. Now, I mention this because now we are starting to have organizations that now need to control and create a book. This book that comes out of all this is done by the Greeks and the Hellenized Jews, which now turns into a Septuagint. So the Septuagint is the Babylonian and it is the Hebrew. Within this book, we have the Book of Maccabees. Now, many people don't realize this. If we take the Septuagint, we trace it down to the book of the Vulgate. And then from the Vulgate, we trace it back to the 1611 King James Bible. The 1611 King James Bible, of course, is the King James Version, which everybody uses. Within this Bible, we have different types of English that do not use J's. And this is why I explain to people about the letter J was a late addition about 500 years ago. So the real name is not Jesus, it's Yahushua. And I say Yahushua because you can easily trace that back to the name Joshua. They already had the name in there, but they named it Jesus for reasons. Your guess is as good as mine. And if I say it, it might be controversial, so that's some research you have to do. Now, I speak about this to speak about the Septuagint. The importance of the Septuagint that goes way far beyond the books of King James. Because remember, King James came to being based on the Reformation, the Reformation, the Protestant movement. So what we need to do is we go back to the Septuagint in order to get the core, the start, the origin of what we are reading today. Within the Septuagint, we have books that are called the Apocrypha. Within the Apocrypha book, we have Maccabees. Now, we're here.
And let me just say this. The Bible does say, because I know a lot of brothers listen to say, what do you mean the Book of Maccabees and all this? These so-called lost books are, you know, the Apocrypha. Let me just say this. Remember in the Bible it says this. If someone have a Strong's Concordance, and that's one of my Bible helps, and you type in the phrase, it is written, because there's lots of verses that say, and many other things did this prophet or that prophet, and it is written in the book of, no, here you go, run a search on It is written in the book of, just that long list, and just have Strong's to search that for you, and you'll see about, I'd say about at least six times in the Bible where it says books that are not in the Bible. Like, for instance, when to validate what you're saying about Maccabees, because it's one of those books, but it says, and many other things did the Lord, the Most High, when, you know, when the sun was held, when the sun stood still, it says many other things that he did, and it's written in the book of Jasher.
Yep.
And so I read the book of Jasher, and lo and behold, it does talk about more events that the Most High did when the sun stood still. So, I mean, how can anybody doubt that we're not supposed to read these books when it says, and many other things, and it's written in the book of this, and many other things is written in the book of that. Annals of the King is another one. There are several books that are missing, and who is this Council of Nicaea that they can authorize what's to be put in the Bible and what's not? Now, I know some people may be worried, and I got to say this, Dawi, because people are actually, this is where a lot of people are at, and that's why they're not reading it, because they say, you know what, I don't want to get confused. I don't even understand the 66 we got, how I look reading other stuff. But if your Bible refers to these other books, for sure you should be reading those books. But go ahead, my brother.
Okay, and that's a very good point. And the thing I have to ask people, are you really reading your Bible? Because if your Bible is referencing something that you don't know of, then you should ask the question why. And what you need to do is you need to study the Council of Nicaea. Okay, and the Council of Nicaea in 324, it changed the game. And what it did was it merged in a lot of things, a lot of paganism, and it became Catholicism. And this became a tool for the actual the Catholic Church, and then we have the institutions that we have now. But before we get into that, I don't want to get off key. I want to go back to the book of Maccabees, because the Maccabees is where I want to track Esau, because what it does is it speaks about how we have the Jew today. Okay, this is the birth of the Jew that you see today, because there would not be no Jew today without Esau. Okay, now what we need to understand is that during this time, when you read the book of Maccabees,
Imposter Jew, when you said it would not be a Jew, you mean
I'm gonna get to that, brother. Let me explain this. I'm speaking fast because I know my boy's gonna wake up soon and
I got you. Go ahead.
Be like, daddy. Okay. In the book of Maccabees, all right, we have a story and an event. Now this event speaks of the last line of Hebrews that were able to resist the assimilation and the captivity. Okay? This is the birth of the Hasmonean dynasty. There is a man by the name of Matthias Maccabeus, and Matthias Maccabeus had sons. One of his sons was Judas Maccabeus. Maccabeus means hammer. Okay? My name is David James Green, right? But my name is David, okay? It's David in Hebrew. James is Yaakov in Hebrew. I use Maccabees to honor Maccabees. Maccabees means hammer. And when you know what happened around this event, you understand why. They were trying to resist the Hellenization. They were trying to hold on to the last of the culture of the Hebrews and honor the temple where we actually kept the covenant of the Most High. And that through the events that happened, the temple was taken over by the Greeks and false gods were placed into this temple. Now, when this happened, the Edomites were actually in the area also. And the Judas Maccabeus started to win. He started to basically they were able to take a group and still maintain who they were. And when the people that were in that area, they started to convert them into Judaism. Now, you can't convert anybody into Judaism because Judaism is a culture and it's a way of life. But they wanted to convert them by circumcising them. So they said, okay, we're going to circumcise you. If we circumcise you, now you are part of our heritage, right? Now, we have to fast forward 100 years later. We have the Maccabees revolt. He becomes a dynasty. And then after the Maccabees dynasty, it's called the Hasmoneans. the Hasmonean dynasty comes to be, and then we have the marriage of Herod with the Hasmonean dynasty. And what Herod does is they start to take over the actual temples, and now we're starting to have people that aren't Hebrews taking over the temple, and they call it the Biutheus priests. Now, I advise everybody to just read this and look it up, and then you can actually see a new history. Now, what's happening is Esau now is starting to steal back his birthright based on Herod. Now, if you notice now, we're going to fast forward into the Bible when we have the time of the Messiah. The Messiah comes, and King Herod now wants to kill all the firstborn because now there's a prophecy that there's going to be another king. This is the rightful line of Elias. Go sit down. Papa prata por telephone, okay? Senta. Okay, there's a rightful line that that is supposed to come, the Messiah. But the Messiah, of course, we know is Yahushua, and it's not to be a king, but it's supposed to save the world, right? And what happens? Maccabeus looks to try to search out and kill tries to kill the Messiah. Now, what we need to understand is at this time now, we have the Caesars. And what do the Caesars do? They start to say, okay, Herod is king of the Jews. But Herod is not a Hebrew, as in the seed of Yaakov. He's a Hebrew, but not a Jew in the sense of him not being the one that the covenant was made with. And also, Herod is now marrying those from the Greeks and those from the Romans. So now we're starting to change the color of the actual people, because now there's people that came from different lands that are now attaching themselves to the seed of Isaac, which is the Hebrew seed. Now these people become the Jews, okay? And now they say it isn't Jew, it's Yahudians. Now we have to look. There's two separate people here. There's the Yahudians, the people of Judea, and then we have the Hebrews. Now the Hebrews we can easily trace back to the disciples, because those are the ones that had their own religion. Some think that they're the Essenes or the Therapeutics. These are different names that were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls that associate.
Let me jump in here for a second, Brother Dawi, because I don't want you to run off and nobody not know where you're getting this from. Can you at least give the people like some way to, I know we can look you up on Blog Talk Radio, because this is pretty deep. I'm telling you, I never heard this angle. I mean, I know I can prove what you're saying another way, but in the book of Maccabees, where will we go to find this information?
Okay, go to Maccabees 1. And then from Maccabees 1, just read that whole book. And what you'll see is you'll see the – actually, perfect. I did a broadcast, okay? And it's called Like a Thief in the Night and the Root of Zionism. And it's my latest broadcast. Download that and listen to it. And I actually have it traces the it talks about the parable of the fig tree, and it tells you who the parable of the fig tree is based on the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it breaks down Matthew, the book of Matthew, and I use the book of Maccabees to edify the book of Matthew. And everything that I'm saying here can be found within that broadcast. And that's my latest broadcast. And if you want to go there,
okay,
it's Hebrews Wake Up.
That's the reason why I just had to jump in there and say that, because I see what you're doing. You're building this case and showing us who the people are in Israel today. And I think that's very relevant. I need all the arsenal I can get. And if you can prove that through the book of Maccabees, I'm very interested in that. Now, I tend to go a different route. I look at, the like you say, the scriptures, the more notorious scriptures, the 66 books, and I see how they don't live out the blessings or the curses, and not only Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, but also throughout the whole Old Testament and the New Testament even. So this is why I remember the Messiah said, after I'm gone, Jerusalem will be trodden down by the hands of the Gentiles.
Yep.
And immediately when Messiah was off the scene, who came into that land? And who's been there since then? So I prove it from the 66 books. You prove it from the book of Maccabees. And there's the book of Jasher, and there's a lot of other lost books, and I do believe we should read them. But you're going to have a lot of people. I'm in Texas. Okay, and I'm in the Bible Belt of Texas, and I'm telling you, a lot of these people that really truly love the Most High and they need this information won't give you the time of day because you say the book of Maccabees. But like you say, if they really search the scriptures speak of these outside books.
Well, you know what I have on my website? It says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. And the reason why I say that is because knowledge controls this world, and lack of it keeps you in bondage. And because you use different books, and I use different books, you know, where do they lead us to? They lead us to the truth. There are many paths to the truth, okay? And if you take that path to the truth with honesty, with humbleness, you will find that this world has been giving you a great big fat lie, all right? I just need to just say that right there. Now, to get back to where I was talking about, when I speak about the Dead Sea Scrolls and I speak about these people that are associated with the Messiah, this is history. This is history. I mean, people have to understand that in 1947, okay, 1947, we have an event that is like played down, but is the most phenomenal event in history. That's the finding of the original scripts from the caves of Qumran and the Dead Sea Scrolls located in the area of Jerusalem. What people don't know is that these scripts and scrolls that were given to us from the creator of this earth were kept in lockdown by the Catholic Church and those in Jerusalem for over 60 years. Now we are starting to get pieces of these scrolls written by people that don't have our best interest in mind because they need to keep us in bondage. Now, if you do some investigation and you start to look up these different scrolls, you will see within them they speak of the truths that I'm trying to tell you right now. And it talks about how we should worship. Who are these Hasmoneans? And it talks about how the Messiah lived and the disciples lived. These are things that we should know. And what people need to understand is that what we have been doing these past, 1,600 years or so is living under bondage. Because if you look up the word religion and you break it down to its prime etymology, it means bondage. And it's bondage to whoever controls that. And if they keep you in bondage, you cannot become the true being that the Messiah wants you to be and needs you to be in order to spread the message to those. Okay? Because I'm doing this out of love. All right? I'm doing this out of love because, you know, within my heart, I know that this world can be 10 times, a million times better than it is if we just loved each other. But if you look at this present world and you see that we have, we're right now, what are we, bombing Gaddafi, right? And then we look at the people that are starving in Africa. We look at Brazil and we say, well, how is all this going on? We trace this back to the World Bank and IMF. This is our United Nations, y'all. If our United Nations, which we all contribute to, controls these IMF and we're putting people in debt where they're actually starving to death, we have to question ourselves, wait, isn't the United States, Great Britain, all this, aren't they the kings of this earth? But yet we have these disease and death going on. So how is that loving the world? If we put our faith in these institutions that we call the Catholic Church and Judaism and these Christian nations, and they give us this hell and filth, you know, creating nuclear bombs that are destroying Japan as we speak, you know, this nuclear stuff, and the earth, no one really steps back and thinks about that. But if I sit here and talk to you about these apocryphal books that can save our soul and give us back our humanity as the human beings that we're supposed to, you shouldn't question that. You know what I mean? If you do question it, at least take the time to look into it. I'm telling you about these books that are found within the Dead Sea Scrolls for one purpose, and that's for you to look it up for yourself. Now, if you want to stay under bondage and feel comfortable and still follow religion, you know, it's really up to you. But at the end of the day, it's between you and the Most High. Okay?
Well, listen, Brother Dawi, that was a pretty good note to I want to ask you one more question, but that's a good way to nail that down. Again, people, Book of Maccabees, Book of Jasher, and there's a lot of other books. If you go into the Strong from Carter's and type, it happens to go in many other things. It's written in the book of. If you can just write in the book of, just those few words in the Strong's Concordance, just like I just said, in the book of, you will find lots of books that the Bible says, and many other things that King David is written in the book of Jasher, many other things that such and such is written in the Annals of the King, and many other things. There's about six books that the Bible quote, and again, it's not in our Bible. So, yes, our Bible have been tampered with. I do believe that. But I believe, like this brother is doing, this is a whole nother thrust. Everybody just can't jump and start reading the Book of Maccabees. You know that, Dawid. But
yeah,
I think there are those out there that can afford some of our brothers and sisters is not in bondage as much as others, and they have more liberty, more access to money and time and staff, and they can travel and investigate these things to see if they be so. This, according to what you've told me, and I'm not an expert on Maccabees. I've read a little bit, but not to the degree you sound like you might have read. So I will say this, my brother. We need all truth that proceeded out of the mouth of the Most High. All truth that proceeded out of the mouth of the Most High. I got another brother I want to bring in here in about 5 minutes, so I want you to have closing words. But in your closing words, I do want you to share how this truth has helped you and your family personally, if I may ask that question again. How have this truth, finding out you are Israel, by, you mentioned it earlier, by looking at the prophets in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, and really the whole Bible, how have it impacted your life? I know you hit it a little bit, but I want you to hit a little bit more, and then we're going to bring this brother on in about 5 minutes.
Okay, that's a very good question. And let me just say this. For the first time in my life, I know who I am. And now I don't have to have the question on why would the Most High make a group of people to suffer so much. And that's not. And now I know that these people weren't suffering because of the Most High. They're suffering because of who they were. And what I mean is that we have an adversary that knows who we are. And if he can keep us oppressed and depressed and not speaking about it, then he continues to win and destroy this world. Now, how it helped me personally is now that we have all these things going on in the world, I can be at ease in my heart because I know that the Most High is in control. Okay? And in saying that, I want everybody else to understand there's no need to fear everything that's happening. All you need to do is just get back into the Word, read it, you know, speak to the Most High, ask Him to show you the things that need to be shown. And it is this brother here, Brother Seth, that's on the radio right now, he is doing an awesome work. You do not know how awesome this work is. And by you hearing this and taking this in, it is going to change your world if you can just open your eyes to the truth that we're trying to tell you. And I think, did that answer your question, man? Did you have another one?
No, that pretty much is it. Now, is there any other groups you know of? Because, you know, this is the Federation of International Israelites. We want to reach out to everybody. Any other Hebrews you want to talk about that you want to kind of bring to our attention that exists out there that you may want to give a shout-out to? You don't have to, but just if there's any, this is the time to do so. Websites, blogs, any other people we should know about?
Yes, definitely. Actually, you know, there's COFA Network, and it's called Come Out From Amongst Her. And COFA, and there's a guy by the name of Yahya Bondele, And he made
a kofa isn't for those that's listening. I'm not familiar with kofa. That's in Blog Talk Radio. What you want to do is go there, blogtalkradio.com. Type in COFAH.
Period.
Or just type in "come out from among my people," or type in even Hebrew Israelite, and you get a lot of the blogs, my blog, Dawid blog, and Kofa's blog, and a lot of others. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's Kofa, and they do a tape called "Hebrews Are the So-Called Negroes," and that's a really good tape. And this, just do research. But also, there's a lot of brothers out there that don't believe that the Messiah. They don't believe in the Messiah, and a lot of them, I believe, are a little bit misled. And don't look at them and judge us all. And I'm not dogging them. I just say that there's a lot of us that are at different paths in our lives, and we have to respect all paths. And maybe they're doing a work that needs to be done that way. You know, they might be doing a work that needs to be done that way, but don't put everything all. You know, the eggs in one basket, okay? Don't judge us all, because the message is given to those by, a lot of different people. And, I'm sorry, the biblical Hebrews of the Bible, Georgia. Georgia is really good. She actually speaks about a lot of this information.
Biblical Hebrew, and that's on Blog Talk Radio always. Oh,
yes,
right?
Yes, the biblical Hebrews of the Bible. Georgia.
Okay. Well, I just appreciate you, man. I know you got to get to your kids and get them out to school and everything, but I just want you to know I really appreciate you, calling and stopping by and saying hi to us. And I just stay true to the Most High. You don't need me to tell you that. And just I'll be in touch with you like I've been, and we'll just do this again. I'm going to try to have some more people, and I want to get as many people on, just around, just common everyday people living in different cities, different countries outside of the United States, because a lot of people really do think this is a small movement. And I remember years ago that there was a brother keeping up with how many there was when I lived in Cincinnati, and he was telling me, man, there is at least 300,000 Israelites professing, back then they would say Hebrew Israelites, professing 300,000, and this was about 15 years ago. 300,000.
Wow.
He was talking about Ohio and the surrounding states. He wasn't even talking about California, Texas, and just in the kind of the Midwest area, kind of. And so I know for a fact there's probably, secretly put, it might be the largest group. So-called religious, and I hate that word, but it may be the largest religious group out there, because we got a lot of people in these churches that really know this, but they say, well, what does it profit me? I mean, how does it – they don't know how to apply it in 2011. You know, they don't understand, well, how do the feast days work, and how does keeping the Shabbat, and we're not under the law anymore. They think because you're not under the law – of course we're not under the law. We're justified by faith alone, all by itself. We're justified as a gift of righteousness through Christ. We understand that. But Israel has been commanded to do some things just culturally wise. And they don't understand how to mix the two. So that's what's going on with that. But listen, my brother, I'm not going to hold you. I know you got your family to tend to there in Sweden. Oh, I was going to ask you, what city in Sweden are you in?
I'm in Malmo, Sweden. It's south.
Spell that.
It's M-A-L, and then you have an It's M-A-L-M, and then you have an O with two dots on it on the top, Malmo.
Wow. Is it country or a city or what?
It's a city. It's about 300,000 people here, and it's actually you can get to Denmark by a bridge, and it takes about 40 minutes to go to Copenhagen. So it's really,
I've been to a few stops over there, but never Sweden. I've been to France and Italy and Britain, but never up that way. So we got to get up there. I even went to Dutch land up there in
Netherlands.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean Amsterdam. I've been up there and I had a connection up there, and I just went ahead and checked out the place. But anyway, man, it is so good to know that you're up there, you're teaching the people, and I always enjoy your blog, man. One more time, let them know how to get to your blog, and we're going to move on, okay?
Okay, the blog is called HebrewIsraelites.eu, and for Europe and one for the United States is HebrewsWakeUp.com. And Seth, I have one more thing to say. If you ever come out here, man, if you keep traveling, you're welcome, you know, to stay with my family. We got a nice, you know, big apartment, and you can come in and you know, you don't have to pay for no hotel or nothing, my brother.
Man, I appreciate that. You need to be careful with inviting brothers like me, because, you know, I will take you on that. I will pick you up in another minute. I love to travel, and I know the Most High. I tell people I've seen 24 countries, but it ain't, you know, just because you travel don't make you right in the things you say. It just, you just somebody to travel. But my traveling is a little weird, because somebody else say, well, I've been to 48 nations. But when we sit down and share, and I tell them who I met, they say, you didn't meet that person. And I tell them how I met, and I tell them different places I've been. It's a weird kind of travel. That's why I say the Most High have blessed me to go places, because, man, I'm telling you, like I was telling you earlier when we talked earlier, and I'll just share with you real quick, like when I went, got stuck in that Egyptian-Israeli border, okay? Now,
yeah.
I'm a little afraid, because here I am, and they denied me entrance into Israel because my passport has an Egyptian stamp on it. They won't let me in Israel because, you know, that Arab issue. So
yeah.
I can't do nothing. There's a big old Hyatt across, well, it was a Hilton right there in Taba, that border. And I'm sitting up thinking, just to give you an idea of my travels real quick. And so I'm like, oh, I'm saying, what am I supposed to do? So I'm praying. I say, well, ain't nothing for me to do. Just go to the hotel. And they, when they say, well, the rooms are $239, I'm like, man, I don't want it. I had it, but I didn't want to pay $239 for one night stay. So I said, listen, is there anything you can do? Here's the situation. I'm stuck here at the border. And, you know, I didn't tell them everything. Yeah, I got it, but I don't want to pay it. You know, that's just me. I'm just stingy like that. So they put me up for like $60 in this really nice room. And I just felt like it wasn't my fault. I mean, I can't care because they being racist and won't let me into the border, whatever they was being. But the morning I woke up, and I realized where I was at. I was half stabbing this little young girl walked by, a little worker there, and I said, what is that out there? What is that body of water? She said, the Jordan. And I say, the Jordan? I mean, and I hear historians have told me that is where the children of Israel crossed over. Now, had they let me through, and when I went on to this is something I did at night, and had they let me through, I would have passed through all of that night. I never would have got to see it, you know. So I was like, wow. So I got to see that, and that is one of the most beautiful places I have ever seen. That Hilton was nice, but that area, you can go online and just type in Taba, Egypt, border, and just it is just beautiful. So like I'm saying, I had a lot of experiences like that, met a lot of celebrities. And the Most High is not done with me, so I'll take you up on that invitation, my brother. But anyway,
okay,
get to you boys. You know, hopefully you call back in the future. I just want to thank you again for coming on the show, and we'll talk later.
Okay, thank you so much for inviting me.
All right, shalom.
Shalom.
All right, people, there you have it. Our interview with Brother Dawid. I was expecting another brother to call in here any minute. Hopefully he will. We was expecting another brother to grace our presence from the wonderful country of Chile. And I know that he had a lot going on, so I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't call us. But anyway, that's Brother Dawid. I just didn't really enjoy listening to that brother's blog, and I just thought I would invite him on again all the way from Sweden. So what did y'all think of that? You know, those of you in the chat room, what did y'all think of that? Those of you on the phone line, what did y'all think of that? This brother is really dropped something on us with the whole Maccabees thing. Now, I do believe in reading, researching anything that the Most High bring across your path. Now, obviously, somebody that just come to him yesterday, straight out of the world, is not going to be reading the book of Maccabees. But it's still, let me back up. Obviously, they won't be reading the book of Maccabees, But I will say that some of us been in this thing for a good while, and we are confident in the scriptures, and we're mature. We should be chewing or eating or drinking, whatever you want to call it, something other than milk, as Paul talked about. You know, we should be have moved up to meat and are able to read. And again, I know we need to be careful and not just be having itching ears and just out here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are really seeking the Most High. In the Bible, it constantly talks about, and many other things did this prophet or that prophet, as I talked about earlier, and it's written in the book of Jasher. Well, there is a book of Jasher out there. What is wrong with picking up a book that the Bible refers to? You know, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to think. I don't, this is going to sound a little crazy, bear with me, but this thought just hit my mind. I'm trying to think, I know the Messiah referred to the Psalms, but anytime you got somebody in the scriptures referring to a book, the Messiah referred to the Psalms. I think I'm trying to think in the New Testament there was reference to made to Job, I think. Anytime a book of the Bible is talked about in the Bible, you know that that book belonged in the Bible. Wonder what the Bible would be if we only had the books that was talked about in the Bible. That's just the thought that hit my mind. But for sure, we need to have the book of Jasher. I read the book of Jasher. When the Most High caused the sun to stand still, it said in that passage in the scriptures, and I can't call what the exact story is. If somebody in the chat room want to let me know. Hold on a second. We got someone that want to comment. So let me just go ahead and open the phone lines here. 1 second. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Peace, brother. This is Elohim from the Elohim Show. How you doing, brother?
How you doing, my brother? That's from the Elohim Show?
Yes, the Elohim Show. I'm also here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm an Israelite. I'm here in New York City.
Oh, okay. Well, New York is invited. That's a foreign country.
You know,
I'm just messing with you, man. That can get pretty foreign. They can get about as foreign as Sweden or Chile. So how are you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm okay. Got a little insomnia, you know what I'm saying, and checking out the show. You know what you brought up about the book of Jasher is very valid. I came across the book of Jasher about 10 years ago in my studies, and I read it. And it's very informative, and it's been referred to in the Bible. Like you say, when you read the Bible and it tells you, is it not written in such and such book? Is it not written in such and such book? It means these books belong there. And when I came across the book of Jasher, and it fills in a lot of the blanks of the book of Genesis. You understand what I'm saying to you? When you read Genesis and you get the book of Jasher, it's like all the missing pieces that's in Genesis from the story with Abraham and the Tower of Babel, and it just, the book of Jasher just fills in all the blanks for me, you know, and that's important for us to put the all the scriptures together, like the brother mentioned, the Maccabees, that's the Apocrypha, you know, that's a book,
right.
That's a book that is very, very important, that used to be very in the middle. You had the Old Testament, the Apocrypha, then you had your New Testament. So these are passages that are very much vital, you know. The book of Enoch was in the Bible before the book of Revelations. You know, the clergy decided to put the book of Revelations there instead of the book of Enoch. You know, so it's a lot of books that's missing. But I'm just really checking out your show and really basically agreeing with you, man. Just giving you some love, support, and let you know I'm in New York City. I'm not with the Israelites in Harlem. I've been with them from 125th Street and been through all the nonsense that we've been through up there, the splits, the breakups and everything. Now I'm just a brother by myself. I really don't fellowship with anybody because I am just tired of nonsense in Israel. And I
hear
just
you.
I just move with the most as he has me moving, and I'm reaching out to you like I do reach out to all Israelite brothers. If the spirit of love is there, I'm here to fellowship, brother. That's all I can say.
What's your name again? Say your name again.
Okay, Elohim, brother.
Okay,
but
I know the Elohim Show. I see it says Elohim Show in the chat room,
yeah,
but I didn't know if you were about
to... Everybody, Yeah, everybody know me as Elohim here. But, you know, in Harlem, brothers know me as the Brother Ezekiel. I was on with the guys on 125th Street who has the Holy Spirit with them.
And speaking of 125th Street, I kind of have a beef with the Israelites. And
You ought to. I was
let me
beginning.
Just say this.
I can tell you all
show,
about them guys.
Let me back up, because this show, I'm waiting on this brother to call. Hopefully he will not. I know that he said he had a lot going on, so we'll just see if he's able to call. But while we're waiting,
I was a pillar.
You know,
there,
we're
brother.
Family. We're family, and that's what this show is about: bringing together Israelites scattered throughout the whole world. We had the brother on from Sweden earlier, but I just want to, just since you are from New York, I got to get this
out. I
was
a pillar.
When
I
we go on YouTube,
there.
When we go on YouTube, and we see them brothers dogging out white people. Now, this is to me the most craziest thing, but you know what? I do understand them. I don't agree with them. Do you understand how you can understand a person but not agree with them? I understand them. I don't agree with them. And here's what hold on 1 second. This is what I understand. I understand anger because we all go through that. I am so pissed right now at the churches and how they have this system to basically weed out anybody that's thinking and that's asking questions. And they got these people with this false prosperity, because the Most High is about prosperity, but it's a false prosperity going on. So I know what it's like to be angry. But what I have, the thing I have with them is, white people, if you know that we're Israel, then you know that the Most High used Europe to bring us, but the planet to its knees. He
That's
called
right.
those people.
To
now, he did
it.
Say he's going to judge them in the end because they would take it too far. But the vast majority of our suffering, white people are not smart. I'm not saying they're not smart. We all, as a planet, is smart. But no nation is smart enough to do to another nation what has been done to us, except the Most High be with them. Now, these people know that because I hear what they're saying out there on the sidewalk. But what I don't understand is all of the disrespect, calling these people out of their names, saying, you know, I mean, I just don't get it, man. I feel like I just wish they grow up, but at the same time, if they go into that stage I went through, hey, I went through it too. I went through it too, but I just feel like this. The scripture says, whatsoever is not done of love is a sin. And this is what I hate what Malcolm X told this girl when she said, Malcolm is cool and I love most of the things he did, but this is one time I disagree with him. This Caucasian girl walks up to him and say, Malcolm, Brother X is what she called him. I really agree with what you're saying about our country and the hatred. And she just went on to say how much she agreed with him. And she said, what can I do to help you? Malcolm looks at her, like the Hebrews and New Yorkers and white people, and said, nothing. To me, that's foolishness, because if somebody has a good heart, and you don't want them just jumping in your organization, taking over like a lot of house, you know what would do. But I'm saying, house niggas is what I meant to say. But you don't want them just, you want to, they're our brothers and sisters of the planet. They may not be Israel, but who knows? And I'm not just saying this for this reason, but some of these people can really help us in various ways. You don't want to do it for the help. I'm not saying be kind for the help. You be kind because they're a human being. You be kind because the Most High told you to love people and care about them. Some whites just simply want to know, why do we act the way we act? Why are we so disunified? I mean, if you was a Martian, Brother Elohim, and you was born yesterday, and you see all the things we're going through as a people, it does look like something wrong with us. It does look like maybe the Klan is right. We do look like niggers or something. If you just look at what we're doing and all of the chaos we're going through, just on the surface, I'm not talking about, you know, about the CIA and the One World Government and all that, just looking at us on the surface, that does appear that something is wrong. So if a white kid in college wants to come out there and listen to those Hebrews in New York on 125th Street, why in the world would you be trying to dog them out and disrespect them? You following?
Brother, I was one who did that. See, I was a pillar up there, and I'm going to say this to you. when we was taught by those brothers, I'm talking about being up there with these guys in the early 90s. I was with them for a good 15 years, 20 years. For me, I'm going to speak for me as an Israelite. You're talking about a man who didn't really, I always knew my Bible as a child, but I didn't know that I was the Jew. I didn't know that I was Israel. I always thought it was the so-called white man. So when I learned this from the brothers, it kind of lifted my pride up a little bit. I felt powerful. But they taught us and, like, drilled in us to make us think that they were the actual Abraham, Isaac, and Jacobs of the Old Testament back in the earth. It made us believe these things. And they indoctrinated a type of hatred in us that everybody, not only the white man, but of our own people, that if you wasn't an Israelite and didn't have the same belief, you was off. So that was like drilled and drilled in us. And I was guilty of that, of going through there and just tearing white people up. But I matured through the years after seeing that the hypocrisy of the Israelites themselves, the hypocrisy of the organization itself, of my leaders that was teaching me. I'm seeing the hypocrisy of them. Now I'm being called rebellious because I'm addressing them about this hypocrisy. So when I began to see these hypocrisies, I began to mature, I began to grow, and when I left them and started, still kept my culture as an Israelite, but started dealing with people diplomatically more, I began to see how ignorant it was. I began to see how much it held me back. I began to see all those things. Here on Blog Talk Radio, brother, I have a show, the Elohim Show. And for your listeners, all the white people listening to you know Elohim. They all do. And they all have heard me express my views about them and what the Most High says about them. And do you know every single white person on this on Blog Talk Radio can tell you Elohim is not lying as I say this? I'm not a hater. I got so many white friends that call into my show, brother. And we dialogue. And we talk about anything. I can name some off: Rambo Show, Knucklebone Show, Hypno Resolutions, Crazy Wolf Show, Empowered Women, Donna DeVane. I mean, I can name white people shows for you. You hear what I'm saying to you? There's a white guy in your chat room right now. He's WTF Radio. He calls my show. You understand what I'm saying to you? I learned that, like what you said, it's not about you looking for the help from white people, but you can't walk the earth hating for two reasons. For one, hate's not supposed to be in you because it's going to just damage you and hold you back as an individual. First of all, I had to get the hate out of me. I couldn't even live and be myself, but I couldn't even enjoy life because I had hate in me. You understand what I'm saying?
But you know what I don't understand, Brother Elohim, is this. This is what I don't understand. My mother, you know, we was raised, most of my pastors have been white. So, I mean, it's very hard for me to even go down that road. And I think a lot of times when black people act like they hate white people, white people need to understand it ain't hate. Now, that South Africa shooting down them innocent black kids, that's hate. Jim Crow, that's hate. But some black person saying cracker, come on. I'm that same black person, if you fall out of something, they'll be the first one trying to minister CPR or calling up or something. Why do you got to understand anger? We just angry. The guys on 125th Street, it's just anger. And it's a stage we all going to go through. I mean, after all, if you sit up and broke down us as a people, and not necessarily this one particular, I mean, why do you need to understand, even though you might have didn't do stuff, you still benefit from some of the wicked people that did. So you need to have a lot of patience for us being angry. You know, so that's why I kind of get a brother to pass in 125th Street. But this is what I don't understand. If you know the Most High did it, and you've been in this thing for some time now, move on. Move on. You cannot reach people. You can reach people a lot more with honey than you can. You know what I'm saying? You just can't. And I'm not talking about some psychological honey. I'm saying we've been commanded as followers of the Most High, Yahweh, following after, you know, his, we've been given the example to live in a way that is going to benefit all people. White people need this information. It helps them understand why we're going through what we're going through. Obviously, so-called black people need this because, especially in the States, because we live out Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. So I'm just saying we are Israel. The Bible is not going to make sense unless this truth is common knowledge, common household knowledge. It's not going to make sense. When you go to start talking about end time events, you're going to really get in trouble putting
some people over in Israel today.
Well, you're going to get in trouble putting those people in Israel today into Bible prophecy as God's elect. That's why you have so many preachers right now that, and I hate to even say this because I'm going to get in trouble with family members, but, you know, my stepdad was one of them that believed that certain things was going to happen in Israel and the Most High is going to return. So you had a lot of preachers and prophets and bishops back in the day when 1948, when Israel, so-called Israel became a nation, predicting the end of the world or the crisis to soon come. Well, the problem was the Most High, I don't think, had nothing to do with 1948. I know people say, well, maybe he used the wicked. No, I don't believe just because two wicked nations come together, I'm talking about that Bafard doctrine, B-A-F-F-R-D, you know, that whole thing played out. Great Britain and America forcing this land, that's why they got the peace, the unrest right now in the Middle East, in the Gaza Strip, because they forced that into being. You think the Most High acknowledged Israel as a nation based upon that? Nah, I don't believe it. So what happened is all those prophets, preachers, teachers start predicting the end of the world. Well, what happened? When did it happen? One more thing. And I appreciate you talking to me. I just opened the line to share with you. But
you opened
what
up a Pandora's box.
Huh?
I said you opened up a Pandora's box when you mentioned that, man.
But what
I was
what
instrumental
saying,
in that, brother. I was with those guys, man, teaching that
Hold on. Let me finish my point. But my point is, when they predicted the end of the world, and I don't even know where you stand on the Messiah. I didn't even ask you that. But I'm saying when they start predicting the end of the world based upon those people being real Israel, that's when a lot of them fell in their faith because they was looking for something that wasn't there. So you bet, I mean, it's very important we acknowledge Israel. For Bible interpretation's sake, it's very important we acknowledge Israel because it looks like the Most High is just picking on a people. It's very important to acknowledge Israel because we won't understand why we do the things we do, and our women is not going to understand. They're going to disrespect us and hate us secretly, if not out front, out openly. I mean, we're going to disrespect them. It's just we can't respect each other unless we understand why we're malfunctioning. It's not natural to love a boogeyman. It's not natural to work with a boogeyman. If we are just sitting up hating each other, don't have a reason, just misfunctioning, we can make other people wealthy, but we can't come together and even have a strong black bank. It's natural to not like a people like that, not to mention other nations that disrespect us. If they knew why we do the things we do, that it's all prophetic, we would get the support from other nations. That's why Israel is not going to need weapons. I don't think we're going to need weapons. When it's time for that remnant to return to the land, I don't think we are going to need weapons, okay? Now, I don't know what you mean by Pandora's box, but probably not a good idea to open it up now because we got to do a whole show on whatever this Pandora's box is you're talking about. I got a feeling. But anyway, these are the things, one of the reasons why I feel like it's so important for our people to know, for the world to know who that we're Israel, but including white people. Because I don't know where you stand with this, and this is probably another Pandora's box, open up a barrel of worms here. But I believe there weren't but two people in that garden. And those two people fathered the planet. And I believe that white people come from black people. We just have more melanin.
They're our twin. They're
earth.
Our twin.
We have
they're,
more
they,
earth.
They're more than come from us, brother. They're Esau. See, it's documented on my show, on my archives. I tell white people they're our twin brother. People got to understand that out of all nations, the white man is our twin. He's our twin. They are. They became out the womb of Rebekah. us, the two of us, we are twin brothers. We're more than just cousins and just coming from out of a same genealogy from Adam. And we are actually
Oh, you know
Jews.
What, brother? Brother, before you mention that too, and I count on, I don't want to turn this. This is a time for Israel to come together and just, you know, we talk about different parts of the place of where we're at and what we're going through. I don't want to get too deep on that, but I will say this. I am a little different on that. I'm just going to throw this out there, and you make your statement and make mine, and we can just go and research each other's. But this is how I believe about the whole Esau thing. I hear that. But I don't believe that any whites are in the Bible. I believe that the Bible is full. Just hear me out. Hear me out. It's going to be real quick. Real quick and simple. I do not believe that the Bible has hardly any white people. I believe that God made man out of the dust of the earth, and people look like the dust. I believe that as we grew, as Adam and Eve, or whatever you want to call their true names, as they grew, as civilization populated, that we began to sin. And when we sin, we lost the ability to do things. We lost the ability to produce children, our women. We lost the ability to produce hair. Some of us start balding. We lost the ability to do different things. Some of us started growing too tall, too short, midgets, all these things come to being. And also, one of the things we lost the ability to do is produce pigmentation or earth-colored pigmentation. So we started having albinos. Now, what I'm saying, you can go research right now. What I'm saying, you'll probably see it when you go out to the train tomorrow or whatever, however you get to work or whatever. What I'm saying is right in your face. And people say, well, I don't know what to think of. Well, I know what to think of. The Bible already addressed it. We lost the ability. I'm going to do a show on leprosy, and I'll go into it. I guarantee you, like, you ain't heard nobody go into it. Because the Most High gave it to me. And I'm not saying he gave me something and nobody else got it, but I'm just saying I've never heard it anywhere else. And when I share it.
But you mentioned leprosy. Don't the scriptures tell you when the Most High told Moses to put his hand in his bosom, he took his hand out and it was leprous, white as snow. And then when he put his hand back in his bosom.
Absolutely, but I go into it deeper than that. I talk about freckles. I talk about vitiligo. I talk about albinism. And I come from the scriptures, my brother. So what I'm trying to share with you is I believe with all the fiber of my being that white people, let me say it another way, I believe with all the fiber of my being that I'm white, but I'm just covered with melanin. I believe the only difference between us, me and them is they don't have as much melanin, but it's very important I note this, and I shouldn't have brought this up because it's just too deep. White people are not albinos. Hold on. I got to get myself out of this hole. White people are not albinos. Let's get this straight. White people are not albinos because those albinos, after they left the continent of Africa in droves, went into the Caucasus Mountain because it was more friendly. For their condition, for albinism and the bright sun, you know, albinos can look at the sun, it was better fitted for them, for their condition, that they go north. And that was the Most High getting together one of the most powerful nations that was to ever walk the planet, as Joel 2 talks about a people never been warm like them before. But in there's other scripture talks about them. But anyway, the Most High is who form those people in the caves of Europe. He called them there, and he talked about how he would use the nation. I'm going to provoke you to jealousy by those that are not a people. That's one scripture. I'm going to provoke you to jealousy, Israel, by those that are not a people. He formed them, and those albinos come out of those caves in Europe, having been educated by the Moors, because they were cavemen for real. But the thousands of, you know, comes out of those caves in Europe and start to go around the world.
The Moors were cavemen?
No, the Moors educated them. The Moors are the ones that and educated them in the Dark Ages. And when they came out, they was sent out by the Most High. He was behind Europe's rising so fast. And the scripture even calls them God's army. But they weren't doing they was doing his will, but it was breaking down this planet because the planet had turned their back on him. So I look at the white race as like a belt. So we don't have to hate white people. Every nation is called to do certain things at certain times. Somebody got to serve. Somebody got to rule at some point. And eventually, whoever served will rule, like Israel been serving, and it's there to rule. White people have been ruling, and it's come that they're going to serve. So all I'm saying is the Most High called them. But the albinos started to mix with other people, and as if an albino mixed with melanin, his eyes get darker, his hair get darker. Every color hair is in black hair. Every color eye is in black pupils. Every color skin comes from that dust color skin. Everybody comes from that dust colored African called Adam and Eve. So we're all truly one family. I do not believe in the Esau thing because I think all of them was black. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, three sons.
But that scripture,
all of them.
It tells you the Most High said these two nations will be separated. That's a prophecy. Said these
right.
are two different manner of people, and they shall be separated. So how are you going to say you can't believe
but what
in this
do you,
picture?
Why do people think because it says that and they get the red and ruddy? But I can show you something about the red and ruddy that you I can take you to. I can show you people red, and they are. You say yeah, they red, but they ain't white. So we get when the Hebrew Israelites and even a lot of well-meaning pastors and preachers when they talk about Esau red, they start talking about the white man. But the white man is not red. Let's get this straight real quick. And this is going to sound, God knows, I don't want to get this wrong. I don't want to say it's be insensitive. But the truth of the matter is there is no, white people aren't a color. You look outside your window right now, well, if it was day, there is nothing the color of white people. Nothing.
Well, look outside your window again. You can see the blood.
Hold on. I know I'm long-winded. Hold on one second. Please, Brother Elliot. Let me get this out. But look outside your window again. And it don't matter if a dog is running by, a cat is running by. You look like the planet. I don't know how you look. I'm assuming you're brown-skinned, brother. You might be. But what I'm trying to say is black people, and it's not something to make us feel good about because we have no control over how we look. No more than they have any control of how they look. All I'm sharing with you is I am a white man. I'm just colored in. I just have more melanin in my eyes. If you start taking melanin from me, my eyes can go back to being, you know, red and all not being able to look at the sun. But I'm filled in with more melanin. And that the loose pigmentation is a form of a curse. But also I'm balding a little bit at the top of my head. So I'm operating that curse, whereas a white man might have a full head of hair. If I need a heart, they tell you, doctors tell you that sometimes a white person's heart is better off than somebody that's your own color. We are truly one family. So what I'm preaching with preaching leprosy the way I do, I'm preaching we are one family. So check out my show. It's going to be probably about 5 weeks from now. I'm going to start this thing on leprosy, and I guarantee you, my brother, you will not be saying, Esau is no white man.
I will say this to you, like I say with everybody, especially when it comes to brothers, when I come across brothers that I disagree with on certain things, the things I disagree with, I'm not going to say that you're wrong, but I always say that maybe one day I'll get to that level of understanding if it's truth. But I'm not going to say that you're wrong. But for now, certain things are that I disagree. But I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'll say
I understand.
If truth being
shown, and I respect that.
What I'm saying if that's truth being shown to you, I'm not going to say you're wrong, but I will say if it's truth, then I will get to that level to see it in time when it's meant for me to come to that level. You understand what I'm saying? I always say that when I deal with brothers when we disagree on certain things. I never tell a brother
what he's
wrong.
I respect you.
We're all looking
in
this glass darkly. You know we're all looking in this glass dimly. We all just getting puzzles and pieces of the picture. You understand, brother? You know that.
Absolutely. The reason why I said it to you, Brother Elohim, with the boldness I have, because I've heard the arguments. I've sat down with some brothers. I'm not going to call their names out, but I've sat down with some very strong brothers on this Esau thing. And every time I say, well, why do you feel like Esau was white? And they start talking about the hairiness and the ruddiness. And I can show you some brothers that's just as hairy as white people. And the red, I can show you thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Africans that is red. I can show you some light-skinned sisters that's more red undertone than. All I'm saying is white people are too few in numbers to be ancient. They're too few in numbers to be ancient anything. Like somebody said, well, they come from Jesus.
This, bro.
Hold on. One more thing. Please let me get this one little thing out. Somebody said somebody tried to share with me once that white men come from Jesus. I say, I don't believe that. I think Noah had, because, you know, it's very popular. They believe Noah had three sons. One of them was white, one of them was yellow, and one of them was black. We supposed to come from Ham. This is what the theological seminaries teach. Ham is the father of the black race. Shem is the father of the Hebrew race. And the yellow man, which is Japheth. I don't know why I didn't get that right.
Japheth, yeah.
Ham is the father of the black race. Japheth or Japheth is the father of the white race. And then the yellow, is that's Shem. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. You got rainbow kids. But you know what? I talked with a brother. He wrote a book and traveled around the world talking about this. And I shot his theory down. In love, I say, okay, let me ask you something. If you're right, let's just say that may be the way you believe. Let's just say you're right for a second. Ham had the most kids, and the black is the dominant gene. Shem is non-white, too. He had the second most kids. The fewest in number was Japheth or Japheth. With the way they mixed, you see where I'm going with this. With the way they mixed, back then they mixed. A white race, because of the recessiveness of its genes, cannot come out of that much mixing. Furthermore, when you look at history, you keep going so far back in history, there is no record of white people. What am I trying to say?
May I ask you a question?
I'm trying to go right here.
Bigger question. The question is, okay, I'm listening to it. That's scientifically. Okay, let's just speak a scientist for a minute. Okay, if your theory is correct, how did the paleness come about through transition of time?
I just mentioned it to you. I just gave it to you. Now, you over there, you listen to what I'm saying. I'm just teasing. But I did mention it earlier, Brother Elohim. You get two black people together. They can produce you can put two charcoal black people together. They can produce white skin. Matter of fact, I've got a little joke I say.
Okay,
I'm going to ask you a question about this. A quick little joke. It's going to be the fastest joke you ever heard. It's going to be 30 seconds. If you put black people on a planet, on a little island, two black people, they can produce an albino. They can eventually produce a planet just like this. But if you put two white people on a planet, they can never produce a planet like this. Was that 30 seconds?
Okay, I agree with you, but now I want to know what is the reason for the loss of pigment on this particular individual. Out of all nations, they got the pigment, but why does this particular one is missing his pigment? It's a reason.
It's a result of sin. It's the same reason why it's the same reason why we lose hair. Why does people lose hair? A result of sin. Why are people too tall? Result of sin. Why are people too short? Result of sin. Why come women can't have children? Now, I'm not saying that particular person sinned, but I mean mankind sinning over the years. We all suffer the effects of sin. While the people die at 75 versus 120, which was promised to us, a result of sin.
Now, let me ask you a question. If the Most High says to me and you right now, I want you two brothers to go out there and teach white people the reason of their pigment being taken away from them and tell them their sin. Do you think they want to hear that?
Let me tell you what I would say to them real quick. I'm going to use more scriptures. I ain't going to say I'm going to use more scriptures than you. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say this. I promise you, and this show wasn't supposed to be about this, but our guests didn't show up, so we just kind of talking here. But what I do is I go to 2 Kings 5. There was a brother that sinned. He was cursed to be white or cursed with leprosy. White skin is a form of leprosy. It ain't all of leprosy. Leprosy, different types of leprosy that can even be in houses, on animals. Leprosy is more vast, but one type of leprosy is albinism. Most white people are not albinism because they mix so much with melanin till they got red hair versus blonde hair.
I agree as far as that because albino is no pigment
of
hair at all.
What I would tell my white brothers and sisters is this. I would say, look at 2 Kings 5. Gehazi was cursed with leprosy because he did something very wrong, and the prophet said, Gehazi, you're going to be cursed with leprosy, and it'll be upon your children forever, forever. And the Bible say the man in front of the prophet turned white. Now it said white as snow, but ain't nobody on the planet white as snow. And the Bible says that these people, is going the prophet says, you're going to be cursed with it and your children's forever. So if you curse somebody purple back then, and their children and their children, children would be cursed with this purple color, how many purple people would you have today? You have a whole lot of purple people. So it can't be white like snow because we'll all be saying, ooh, that guy's white like snow. I mean, if you curse somebody way back then,
so
there's going to be thousands of them.
So you're saying the Caucasian today, if he has his children?
I'm saying this to
saying?
You today. Albino.
See, that's what that
would
mean to me. See, if the scripture says forever, brother, then that would tell me that the Caucasian man would be the children of Ahaz.
Hold on. More than Gehazi was cursed with that. Remember, Miriam was cursed with it. Now, let me tell you what Miriam said. Look, I told you when I teach on this, I go deep. Now, watch this. I'm going to go deep on you. When Miriam was cursed with leprosy, I'm going to show you exactly how she looked. Watch this. When Miriam was cursed with leprosy, her brother, Aaron, said to Moses, Aaron said to his brother, one brother said to another brother about their sister, alas, my Lord, let her not be. He about to tell you what he's looking at. People don't read this. Let her not be. Let her not be what, Aaron? As one who cometh from his mother's womb, whose flesh is half consumed. Now, why did you just say, let her not be as one who cometh from his mother's womb, whose flesh is half consumed? Half consumed just means half colored in, where you can see through it. I was teaching this one time in Columbus, Ohio, and a nurse, because I always tell everybody you can interrupt me anytime, a nurse interrupted me and says, oh, my goodness. I'm saying, go ahead, my sister, what do you got to say? She says, oh, my goodness. Oh, let me back up. I get excited. He said, let her not be as one whose flesh is half consumed when it coming from his mother's womb. I'm going to repeat the scripture. Let her not be as one whose flesh is half consumed when he comes from his mother's womb. They talking about a stillborn baby. Stillborn baby, people start saying leprosy is knuckles falling all off and guts hanging all out. That's not how a stillborn baby look. A stillborn baby, this is what the nurse was telling me. She says, oh, my goodness, I work with delivering children, and you're right. Stillborn babies never have pigmentation. I mean, most babies
don't. Stillborn did. I know verses that says, I know verses in the King James where it says, let her not be as one who is dead.
Right. Absolutely. Talking about a stillborn baby. Let her not be as one who's half consumed coming from his mother's womb. It is talking about a stillborn baby. But what I'm trying to share with you is, that's just one scripture. I can talk about Leviticus 13:13, where the scripture says, the priest is supposed to look, and this person's skin is turning white. What? The person's skin is turning white. And at some point in Leviticus 13, it even said reddish white. So this person's skin is turning white. But when it eventually turned all white, this person, something interesting happened. When the skin is turned, now, that's vitiligo skin turning white. When it's all white, though, when it's one tone.
Well, I agree with you on that. Leviticus tells you about many forms of leprosy, of course. I'm not arguing with bringing up scriptures. I never argue with a scripture.
What I'm saying to you, Elohim, is there is many scriptures. I ain't even done. I got like 11 minutes in the show, but I'm going to talk about this for like 3 weeks straight. And when I get done and you see freckles, you'll understand freckles a person, when you look at a little freckle.
I see about the freckles. I know the scriptures which you're talking about. If it be a spot in it, especially with the priest, if we caught that disease, if the spot didn't go away, the people had to be put out the camp. But if the spots, what you call the freckles, go away, then the person could be a clean leper and go back amongst the people. I know the scriptures that you're talking about, brother.
You're talking about the first part of 13, but what I'm saying is, all I'm saying is, my brother, you were clean when you became somewhat dark. The scripture used the term when you became somewhat dark. So dark skin was a sign of health. White skin was a sign of leprosy. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing I'm going to say is this. Leprosy was all over Africa. White-skinned people, or albinism, was all over Africa. So when you start talking about Esau, the argument is, what are y'all going to do with all these white-skinned people, these albinos? We know what the Africans did. They put them out and they migrated up north. This is where the caveman's era come from. That was the Most High getting together.
What about the other scriptures that mention Esau, brother? What about the other scriptures that mention the works of Esau against Israel, like Obadiah? And Jeremiah, when it says Esau had a perpetual hatred against their brother Israel, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you got to be kidding. What I'm saying is, you all got to be kidding. I can show you in Scripture our dust-colored brothers and sisters with the same kind of hatred, not just in ancient times, but even in 2011. Oh, it's not unheard of
it's certain prophecies, brother, that the white man can't deny that he's Esau, especially the book of Obadiah. The whole book of Obadiah breaks down Esau to the T that you can tell that's the white man. It tells you.
Well, This is where you're gonna have trouble at. Europe is a baby. As much as we talk about Europe and all the kings and the great Rome, Europe is a baby. What are you going to do about that same spirit that oppressed Israel when it wasn't no white people? It were black people. So at some point,
that's why the Most High is bringing something new. We don't know what the Most High is bringing, brother, but whatever it's going to be something new. It's going to be
right, what I'm saying, brother Elohim, what we do know, we know. And what I'm saying to you, is I hear what you're saying, and I respect the fact that you went in research and you have the passion to even be concerned about these deep mysteries. But I'm saying to you, when I show you leprosy in the scriptures, which is another form of albinism and vitiligo, when I begin to show you that, it's going to kill the whole. I'm telling you, you don't know me. We just got to do it. But I'm just saying, think about the things I've said tonight. Pray about it.
Oh, remember, I said I'm not going to say you wrong. Remember, I said I'll come to that understanding if it's true. If what you're saying is true, then I will come to that level of understanding to see that, I'm sure. That's why I'm going to check it out. When you do the show, I am going to tune in and I'm going to check out and see what you bring out. I'm going to do that, yeah. I'm open to it, definitely, brother. Open to see, yeah.
And what I try to do, because I know it's a slap in the face, to me it's the most offensive weapon that I know of for white supremacy. Because if I can show how white people come from black folk, oh my goodness, it's over. Their kingdom is over. Their lives are over. Because if you come from me, you can never be superior to me. And that's what I do. I focus on revelations like that and the fact we Israel and different things, because white people, I ain't ashamed to say I love white people. I love black people. I love Indian people. I love the people of the earth. And I think it's a disservice to our black white brothers and sisters to not tell them exactly how they came into being. How did they get white skin, as you say? How did they get pale skin? Well, we made from the dust of the earth, and dust ain't no white dust. Again, look outside your window tomorrow when it's nice and bright and sunny. Think about Brother Seth and look around for something that look color white people. It's not offensive. I know a lot of white people get upset because of when I say that. But I'm being real. The reason why you can't find your color is your color is a recessive color. It comes from. That's why you can't find it. But I can throw some dirt on you, my brother, and I probably won't even realize it's on you. When we go to the earth, when we go back to the earth, what color we all turn? Do we get lighter in the casket, or do they have to help and bury us because we're going to get what? Darker. All I'm saying is leprosy is a form of white skin. White people come from us. I am a white man. I am a blonde hair. I do have white skin, but I'm covered. I'm covered with melanin. And to lose my covering is a form of a curse. To lose my covering is a part of losing what the Most High gave me. If I lose my hair, that's a part of a curse. If I lose the ability to be of a certain height and I'm 3 foot, that's a part of a curse. If I'm 9 feet tall, which is going to be real rough on my bones, that's a part of a curse. If I can't reason quickly and think fastly, and I'm what they call a slow learner or a retarded person, that's a bad name, but that's a part of a curse. It don't mean something is wrong with that particular person. It's just as humanity, sin takes a toll on us, and we started to lose the Adam and Eve ability. It's not a...
You know, brother, I feel you heavy. With you, I'm listening to you. I'm going to cut you off. I'm listening to you, and I feel you. When are you going to do this show on that? Because I want to listen to that. I really agree with what you're saying as far as the curse part and the pigmentation loss on the white people. I just, you know, we just differ on the fact that of the white man being Eastern. That's where we differ at. But as far as the rest of what you're breaking down, brother, on the just the basic science on the leprosy and why it's like that, I'm in 100% agreement with you. I really want to check out that show you're going to be dropping that information on. Because I can see I can learn something from you on that, because I can see where you're going with that. I'd like to check that out. We're just on a different on the white man being Esau. We're always different on that. I tell you that now. We're different on that always. I'm always Esau's the white man until the day I die. But the information on that leprosy is vital. And I find it to be very valid, brother.
All right, well, to answer your question, it's going to be April the 9th. The show on April 9th, I deal with something I call Bible leprosy. And I say a lot of I, but the Most High, I'm one of those persons, man, I ain't supposed to be talking about none of this. If you know where I was raised and the level of education I got initially, you would say it's got to be the Most High. I mean, where this knowledge have taken me, who this knowledge have taken me in front of. And I mean weird situations where I've been able to share this to some people. I found myself in Papua New Guinea, at their Congress one time. A brother took me down there to share with congressional people in Papua New Guinea these things. So that's April the 9th, and that's going to be a show, April the 9th. I've got to look at a calendar to see exactly what day that is. April the 9th is going to be on a Saturday, so that'll be on the Shabbat. That'll be at 11 o'clock a.m., it'll be archived. But listen, my brother, we have got 4 minutes left, and I didn't mean to talk to you this long, but you, my brother, have a good spirit, and we're gelling. And I hope I didn't come at you the wrong way. I know sometimes I get very...
No, bro. I had a ball. Let me tell you something. It's been a pleasure just to be able to talk to a brother. We don't have to just agree on everything. It's just a pleasure just to talk to a brother. May the Most High bless you, brother. And I will be tuning into your show again.
All right, my brother. Well, Brother Elohim, again, I'll be checking out your show. I'm going to follow you and make you a friend. And just keep learning, keep seeking the Most High. Don't hang out with them brothers on 125th Street. Keep them in your prayers. Cause
I left them a long time. Oh, they're good. I keep them in my prayers. For what? They got the Holy Spirit with them now.
They got what now?
They got the Holy Spirit with them now. You don't know that? I was trying to tell you.
What are you saying? They got the what now?
They got the Holy Spirit in Manhattan. It's back. The comfort of Christ who's talking about is in Manhattan. You didn't know that. See, that's what I was trying to tell you. Apple taught me to teach that America's going to be destroyed by the year 2000, and it didn't happen. And a lot of us brothers left that nonsense. Now they got some dude there named Kaza Doc, and he's the comforter. And that we, according to them now, we made a mistake because...
Man, look, the enemy is always gonna come before the Most High. When you see a movement as big as this movement is, the revelation of the true Israel, look for the enemy to come using our people and using everybody else to say something, to do something kooky. So on that, I'm gonna end the show, man. It's good talking to you. Shalom, shalom, Israel, all over the world. How about the brother not calling in from Chile? I'm sure he told me that he has some things he may not be able to listen, so I know what happened. But next week, we're going to have some more brothers on from our sisters from other countries. We try to feature people from other countries to share what it's like to be Israel, scattered in the four corners. So I will talk to you. So I'll talk with you, brothers. Later, again, thank you, Brother Elohim, for talking to me. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, brother. Shalom.
Brother.